Call RSG Financial for your bookkeeping, accounting, and tax service needs. RSG Financial provides accounting and tax services for business and personal needs. Email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. Riverside Sales Group is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. Urban Media Today talks sports with Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones, and Alan Lincoln on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talks sports. Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. Did I say that fast enough? That's why. You know why? Because I already know their names and I didn't mess them up.
Oh, very good. I'm very proud of you.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, gentlemen.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you.
Yo, sir. Man, my grandfather fought in the war. I had uncles that were in the military. Mm-hmm. So this weekend is a weekend where it's like the Jones family is there. Jones and Browns. I had to say Browns. Right. Because my grandfather, I had a grandfather that fought in the war. I had two uncles. I don't know if they saw action. Right. I think they did, though, because mm-hmm. this is back in the 60s. So Vietnam, I'm quite sure they saw action without question.
Yeah.
And then I have great uncles, mm-hmm. you know, grand uncles that fought in the war. So, you know, happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Yes, sir.
And the thing is, one of my grandfather who had fought in the war, I think it was World War II, if I'm not mistaken, he came home and became a policeman.
He does something.
And as a matter of fact, he was one of only two black policemen in the city when he came back.
Wow. Historic, crazy, man. Historic. Love it, man.
Like, yeah, right? Right. Mm-hmm. We're talking when he would have come back, if he fought in the war, you would think, what, maybe about the 50s going into the 60s.
Right. That's true. Whoa. He's a trendsetter. That's great.
No doubt. He's my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Love him. Love him. All right, fellas. I had to put that in there real quick.
That's great, man. I like it.
Speaking of war, Los Angeles Rams defensive line had a war going on last year.
Yeah.
One of those defensive linemen is now going to be with my Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'm not surprised.
And Domakong Sue.
Not surprised at all.
I'm happy. If you hear it in my voice, that's right. I'm happy. Vince gets to talk about the Browns. This one over here gets to talk about the Steelers.
Yeah, everybody can see this one. Everybody can see this one over here, too. I mean, you know, y'all must got good eyesight. You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm talking about Ray, man. I always got to mess with Ray. He got his Steelers shirt on.
That's right. I have my Steelers shirt on, man. I have to represent.
See, and Vince this time, instead of coming with an A&T cap board, he came in here with a Pitt shirt on. So,
absolutely.
But see, you know what? Yeah. I'm going to go back. I'm about to tell my age. When it comes to Pitt and Pitt football,
yeah.
I'm going to give him that because I remember Tony Dorsett.
That's when they were.
I remember Hugh Green.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
You don't hear people talking about Hugh Green,
and
man.
They should.
But Hugh Green was up for the Heisman.
Finished too.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so,
he did.
So, and he was a defensive end.
Oh, man, he was a beast,
so
man.
When you talk about the edge, Ray,
yeah,
Hugh Green was a true edge when you think about it.
He really was, though.
Before they even named it the edge. Because
yeah.
if he was coming, he was a defensive lineman, but I think Hugh could have been a linebacker.
Right. Trying to think though, who did he lose? Obviously, he lost out to an offensive player because you know how stingy they get with
with the Heisman.
Yeah.
I was just
I'm trying to think who it was.
I was just
though.
Pointing out the fact that he was actually up for the Heisman.
No, but I'm just trying to. Every time I hear somebody say that, I think about that and I always forget who won in 1981.
We got a whole show for you to remember, so you got like 50 something minutes.
you off and popping. I see. All right, I'm gonna be ready for you, young man.
Man, it's the holiday weekend, man.
Well, then where's the food?
Vince, get him, Vince. He's talking about food. Listen. 2 years ago, he promised us pizza.
2 years ago?
Still waiting.
Not 2 years ago.
It's been 2 years, man.
Hey, I'm going to be out of town later on today, man.
Whatever.
So I'll be eating, and I'll show you a picture.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the NBA. We're mm-hmm. talking about the NFL. You hear it's the Memorial Day weekend. Happy holidays to you. I know on the station all weekend long, they got mixes going on. The Jazz Show is going to be off the hook tomorrow. You know, you got Kevin Cameron and Bill Neal with Soul Take Champions Live coming on this evening at 6 o'clock. They're going to talk NBA hoops because the playoffs are happening. You got Toronto and Milwaukee going at it again tonight.
Yeah.
You know, so, and Golden State just to kick back and just wait to see who's coming. You got the NBA, the All-Pro, All-NBA team, which was announced on Thursday, earlier this week. So we could talk about that a little bit, too. Mm-hmm. I got some questions about that one, bro.
Sure
and that's Vince's area over there. Mm-hmm. And then we'll talk about the NFL, because I talked about Ndamukong Suh, but then you got Juju with the Steelers. You got something going on with him. Oh. And then, you know, you got other things going on. So that's what it is. So, I was going to say, it's Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Soul Take Live, Champions Live will be on this evening around 6 p.m. Happy holidays to everybody. Let's get right to it, though, Ray. Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, part of that defensive line last year for the Los Angeles Rams, and now Ndamukong is going to sign with the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, you just knew that last year. when they gave him that 1 year deal, which was about what, 14 or 15 million, it was just going to be that, a 1 year deal, especially because Aaron Donald, I mean, the more the merrier, especially that interior line, but you just knew the veteran, so was not going to stay there. At least I had that feeling. Mm-hmm. And I guess partly me wasn't surprised that he went to the Buccaneers. I mean, he's an NFC player. Mm-hmm. You know, he tried to play at Miami. That was a big waste of time. They might as well just put me in there. But he did well. He behaved.
Did you really sneak that in there?
Yeah, I really did. Because here's my point. He ain't do nothing with Miami, and I can't do nothing in an interior line. If I play football, trust me, it won't be there. But he did well. He behaved. Mm-hmm. He is probably a huge influence on Aaron Donald. I believe that. Youngster. With the older veteran,
right?
But hey, man,
on what not to do,
basically that makes a difference in itself, you know. But just when you have a player that is in the papers for that reason, mm-hmm. no news is good news, mm-hmm. and for a team that was Super Bowl bound like they were, mm-hmm. that made all the difference in the world. Because let's be honest, I ain't hear nothing about him, man. Mm-hmm. Probably because of Aaron Donald, but I'm just saying, you didn't hear anything.
Yeah, I actually think maybe Aaron Donald had an effect on him.
I mean, two-edged sword, absolutely.
With his demeanor, his professionalism, mm-hmm. You know, the way he goes about his day, mm-hmm. You know, just a true professional all the way around.
Absolutely.
I mean, even when he held out, you know, people didn't bash him. People didn't try to trash his name. Mm-mm. Because the one, they knew the type of player and person he is.
Yeah,
they knew that he outplayed that contract, that rookie contract.
So, he really did. Yeah.
So he deserved any and every penny that he got in his new deal.
And here's something about Sue that really stands out. He's going to where he's needed, because you know who Tampa Bay cut. Yeah.
Who's going to Cleveland for the first visit, for the free agent visit?
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
It is interesting.
Go ahead.
Really is. The interesting thing was during the week, Myles Garrett, you know, made some comments, which, you know, I thought on one hand, they were, you know, on point. You know, he talked about how, you know, we got a nice group of guys in here already. Mm-hmm. So we'll be fine if Gerald McCoy does not come. You know, and on one hand, you know, you can be like, well, you know, why wouldn't you want more talent? Right. You know, as much talent as you can get on mm-hmm. that defensive line and in your defensive locker room. But I think he was speaking more of the, you know, just speaking out for his guys.
For sure.
You know, just trying to make sure that he's a leader for his guys that are there. You know, I'm sure he will welcome them. You know, but at the same time, you know, as some teams should have learned, and I won't mention them by name, but you talk about the guys who are in the locker room versus guys who are not there, whether they're coming there, whether you think they should be there. Speak about those guys who are there first and only, and then worry about that stuff later on.
Basically, you think common sense would be common. You know what I mean? But he's going to get Sue is going to get $9.25 million. With incentives that could push his total up to $10 million. So, yeah, he's still getting his monies, playing for Bruce Arians and with that defense as well. So, it'll be interesting. So, that's your team, Trevin. So, what's your thoughts? And you said
I'm loving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm loving it. Anytime Tampa Bay can improve, I'm loving it because, you know, I'm still trying to shake off the John Gruden era.
Which was really the
which was years ago.
Tony Dungy,
some people are like, what is he talking about? John Gruden in Tampa Bay. Yeah, remember, if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up, because John Gruden took over the team after Tony Dungy had set up that Super Bowl team when the Tampa Bay Bucks won the Super Bowl the year after, mm-hmm. and John Gruden got all the credit. Meanwhile, those were Tony Dungy's players. So I'm still trying to get over the John Gruden effect on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Jameis Winston, I'm looking for Jameis to do some big things in Tampa Bay because I think Coach Arians is going to help him out. I ain't really sold on Arians being the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, mm-hmm. but, I mean, all right, let's see what you got.
For sure, and it's nice to see that. And, I mean, obviously, it didn't take Einstein to figure it out that Fitzmagic stuff was just going to fizzle out last year, and it did.
Jameis is the man. So this is his chance to get out there and do what he's supposed to do.
Hopefully he's the man.
That's what I'm saying.
For his sake and for Tampa Bay's sake.
But when you get these opportunities, you got to, you know. So, yeah, it's true.
Yeah, you do, but he's unreliable.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking about supposed to be the man. There you go. Speaking about people who are supposed to be the man, didn't Ben make an apology?
He did. I listened to that whole thing. Really? I watched it on television.
What was that all about?
Yeah, well, that was Roethlisberger's time to really open up, because he was pretty much quiet throughout the offseason, other than when he talked about his contract. He met with KDKA in Pittsburgh, Bob Pompiani, and he threw the questions at him. All the questions about, obviously, the offseason with Brown and what he said to him about him, you know, after he had that ill-fitted pass against Denver. And what's the defensive tackle? He intercepted the ball in the end zone. And Ben basically just said, you know, he admits that from that standpoint, it's easy to say things because you want to give folks in the media what to say. He felt like he was, you know, entitled to say it. But on the flip side, he wasn't trying to cause any pain. So that's when he said he apologized to former wide receiver Antonio Brown. He stated that, and he actually said it twice. And he just basically talked about the fact that he needed to improve on his leadership skills because, I mean, he said, face it, we didn't make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, there are things I need to do. So, a lot of folks will say that he doesn't take blame. He took blame. You know, he still didn't take blame for that pass, though. Because the pass was horrible. So, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, you know, anytime something like that happens, especially with a controversial figure, folks are going to have their viewpoints and put their spin on it. But I thought, you know, I thought it was all right.
Kind of interesting. Go ahead.
It was definitely overdue.
Definitely. Long overdue.
But, I think, if you paid attention these past couple weeks with anything involving the Steelers, I think what's happening, if you listen to, you know, players who are on social media for the Steelers, I think they're trying to have a concerted effort to change the dynamic in how people are perceiving the Steelers.
That is facts. Those are factual.
I think that how last season played out and some things in previous seasons really reared its ugly head.
Right.
And so you have players now who are really trying to come out and change the narrative when people mention the Steelers.
For sure.
I mean, there's still issues to be worked out. There's still talent to be developed. But what you hear is that the players that are here now are making a change for the better. You know, like things are going to be different. And If you didn't have your quarterback come out and say it, you know, if you didn't have him come out and apologize and be, you know, a bigger man, because still in this situation, still is being the bigger man.
Absolutely.
Especially after AB kind of tweeted.
He did what he did.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, he's still, unfortunately, acting like a child in all of this.
Yeah. He is.
You know, I think it is time for – it's way overdue for players. These guys don't play for each other anymore. Mm-hmm. They're not teammates anymore.
Yeah, for real. I'm so with you.
You know, Antonio Brown is in Oakland. Ben is here in Pittsburgh. Focus on your teams.
Yeah.
Focus on your teams. And again, it would be nice. I'm not sure if it'll happen. History doesn't say that. For Antonio Brown, it would be nice if he came out and changed some of the things he's putting out there.
That would be a miracle. But I think sometimes, man, it's, you know, you keep exalting yourself too much, man, you're going to get humbled. You know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Karma?
Yeah.
we'll find a way to find you.
You know, it's a good example of that. And he had his couple moments. Mm-hmm. Mike Wallace, who they call the one-trick pony. Mm-hmm. Speedster. Did well. At one point, he was top 10 because of some of his seasons. I think it was 2010 and 2011. He had some good years. He was a top free agent at the time. He signed with Miami. They gave him all that money. He fizzled, man. And he said some of it was injury. Some of it was him.
I mean, I don't see that happening with Antonio Brown.
No, he's still going to get. He's going to get his no matter what.
I mean, he's just a phenomenal player.
Mm-hmm.
He does. He does everything well. Everything you ask him to do, he does well.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hard worker. He's proven it. He capitalized after being a sixth-round pick in 2010. But what I mean by fizzle, maybe, okay, his production went down. But I mean, he was in for a rude awakening because he was in a different element. The quarterback wasn't the same. You know, Ryan Tannehill, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then he went to Minnesota. Was it during the Teddy Bridgewater years? I think it was. Then he went to Baltimore where he had a decent quarterback in Joe Flacco, but still. He went to Philly and busted up his knee, so he didn't even play. Mm-hmm. So, but he talked about how things just he got humbled. He actually wanted to come back to Pittsburgh, but I don't know what happened with that. But
before you even go there, I'm gonna make a decree right here. You just talked about Mike Wallace. We're done talking about Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. That's not happening no more. Decree for the rest of the show. That's over. Matter of fact, speaking of over, it's the end of the first quarter. See how Ray and Vince do? They get going, man.
That's you.
But that's good stuff. Good stuff. It's the end of the first quarter. We talked NFL. We play a full game here. Three more quarters to go. We're gonna talk a little bit more about the NFL, and then we're gonna move on to the NBA. We're gonna move on to the Major League Baseball and a whole bunch of other things right after this. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
Tune in weeknights at 8 p.m. for The Nightcap, your favorite slow jams for lovers. Or maybe you want to sit back, relax, and unwind. After a long day at work, you'll need a nightcap. So relax. We'll handle the rest. It's The Nightcap on Urban Media Today Radio.
You ready, man?
Party people! Uh-huh. It's about that time
for us to.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Urban Media Today Talk Sports, 7A Jones, Ray Porter Jr. Ray Porter Jr., 7A Jones, Vince Butt. Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones. I want to make sure everybody gets a share of the DM at the top. Oh, Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones. There you go. Everybody's name should go first at one point in time.
What are you, Jamie Foxx?
Go ahead. Whatever.
just say we're live afterwards, okay?
All right. Ray Porter Jr., Vince Butts, Trevin A. Jones. We're live. Urban Media Today Talk Sports.
Throw something at this man, please.
Happy Memorial Day weekend, everybody. Everybody's talking about the NBA because that's because the playoffs are going on. Well, one game is going on. Somebody else already made their way to the finals. We'll talk about that in a second. But Ray wanted to wrap up a little bit about the NFL.
And, how nice of you.
Of what?
Of wrapping me up instead of cutting me off.
Vince, I smell, what's that? Hate. I smell hate, Vince. I smell
and
hate.
And I hope it smelled good, too. it smelled like some chicken.
Go ahead, man.
Nah.
He's going to be the one talking about food,
right? Nah, seriously, though, man. I'm just saying. I mean, I just wanted to read one quote because, you know, we want to make sure everything, we have our facts straight. So one thing Roethlisberger did say, he just said, I took some heat, and deservedly so, for some of the comments on that show, his weekly radio shows, which was on Tuesday mornings, and especially toward him, as referring to Antonio Brown. I genuinely feel bad about that, and I'm sorry. Did I go too far after that Denver game? Probably. So that was the one quote I wanted to give. And that's about as transparent as I ever heard that man be.
Didn't we say that we're not talking about Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown anymore on this show?
Hey, you asked me, man. So I just wanted to finish it up.
I didn't want the brother to feel bad.
Well, nice. Okay, so that's your Roethlisberger moment. Thank you. No, that's it. I'm done.
Speaking of quarterbacks, though, the NFL and the Black College Hall of Fame, they're going to host a quarterback summit. It was announced earlier this week. The reason you may say, Trevin, what's that got to do with anything? Well, first and foremost, I want you to know that there's a Black College Football Hall of Fame that's in existence, and it's connected to the NFL because it's going to be located in Canton at the NFL Hall of Fame, which is going to be interesting. Good stuff. So the Hall of Fame has been located in Atlanta. It's still there for now, but in the future, it's going to be actually relocated into Canton, Ohio, and part of the Hall of Fame, which is awesome. And last year, if you have been following football, there were a number of coaches. The number of Black coaches is dwindling in the league. So they're saying that the NFL is becoming offensive-minded. Mm-hmm. Well, not too many minority coaches. And I'm going to say Latino brothers or Asian brothers and Black players, Black coaches, haven't been given opportunity to become offensive coordinators or head coaches because they said, well, last year, we'll use last year as an example, a lot of head coaches who are going to be new this year were at one point offensive coordinators. So when you look in the ranks, there aren't many Black head coaches or Black coaches that are offensive coordinators.
This is true.
This quarterback coaching summit is to address that and hope develop coaches moving forward. Mm-hmm. Develop college coaches as offensive coordinators and maybe offensive coordinators with pro teams who can then become pro football head coaches. It's not going to affect the NFL right away because it's going to start in the college, at the college level. But it's open to players and coaches, well, coaches and up-and-coming coaches, so they all get together and talk about that. And that's it's going to be interesting because Troy Vincent, the NFL Executive Vice President of Football Operations, he commented on it, as well as Shaq Harris. James Shaq Harris used to be the quarterback for the Los Angeles Rams back in the day when they were in L.A. The first time.
Yes, sir.
Well, he and Doug Williams are co-founders of the Black College Football Hall of Fame.
That's great.
So they're absolutely both involved as well. And when I say that, you know, there's other people that are going to be involved, like Pep Hamilton, mm-hmm. Former Howard University alum and player, and actually he's a coach. He is going to be he's the XFL general manager and head coach right now, and he's going to be part of it as well. Your boy Hugh Jackson is going to be part of it, former coach of the
That's
Browns,
great though, man.
Which is interesting. So when I say that, and then Eric Bieniemy, who everybody talked about last year, talked about last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, right, that he should have been up for a head coaching position.
Yeah.
He's going to participate in the summit. So those are just some of the presenters and attendees, and they said that could change. But I just wanted to make that noted that, you know, that's something interesting that the NFL and the Black College Football Hall of Fame are doing, because people were saying that minority coaches weren't getting the opportunity to become or develop as offensive coordinators. Well, this is the opportunity that's being presented to them.
That's great. And it's nice to see the fight.
To see the fight?
Yeah.
Besides the one between you and I?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Oh, yeah, and it continues, too.
Okay. All right. Anyway.
That was good. That was good.
So now what we're going to do here is, since there is a peace treaty amongst Ray and I.
According to who?
And see? I try to be nice, man. And then, so, Vince, this is where we get to talk about you, your area of expertise on the show, the NBA, man. Mm-hmm. Of course, we know the playoffs are tonight.
Right.
You got Toronto and Milwaukee going at it again. I don't know, man. I think Milwaukee and Toronto, Milwaukee comes in with the best record in the league, regular season record. And they lose maybe two or three times. They haven't lost a lot during the postseason.
Right. Nope.
Okay. So even coming into tonight's game, they played again on Thursday. But coming into tonight's game, I'm like, you know what? I'm still feeling Milwaukee. You know, I mean, Kawhi is the man for Toronto, but unless Lowry gets going, you know, Kawhi is all Toronto has. And I can't believe I just said that. But that's what I believe. That's just what I believe.
Yeah.
Vince is like, no, brother. I'm already going to battle you on that one. But then again, Giannis Antetokounmpo, when I'm watching Milwaukee, man, he's all Milwaukee has, in my opinion. Go ahead. I know the floor is yours.
Well, he is a big part of what they have. They've gotten big contributions from their role players. Eric Bledsoe has played well in spots. They obviously need him to be more consistent. They hang their hats on playing tough defense. So, which they're going to need not only in this series to shut down a guy like Kawhi. Because what you really want to do is get the ball out of his hands, force someone else to beat you. And you know, guys that historically haven't had the same success that Kawhi has had, Kyle Lowry, you know, has fizzled out not only in these playoffs, but it's been well documented in previous years. Pascal Siakam, who just doesn't have the experience, he's a very nice player. Just doesn't have the experience.
He got a smooth jumper, though.
He does.
I was surprised to be as tall as he is to be able to shoot from outside like that.
Right.
I mean, I'm like, whoa.
And you know, that's the way the NBA now is everybody should be able to have some sort of outside threat.
True.
So you know, so when for Milwaukee, they're gonna hang their hats on tough defense. They're gonna they want to get stops, and then they want to get out and run. You know, they want to get Giannis running downhill, attacking that defense before they get a chance to get set and getting some easy buckets. And then everything plays off of that. So yeah. Milwaukee is a tough out. And I think, you know, it won't be easy getting to the NBA Finals, but I easily see them getting there versus a Toronto team who You know, it's just not quite there. And I mean, they're a lot better.
Right, a lot better.
Trust me, a lot better than they were with DeMar DeRozan. You know, and they've gotten some contributions off the bench, like Norman Powell, which has helped tremendously. But
so Drake ain't help?
And I'm more. You know,
talking about contributions off the bench, Drake ain't help.
You know what? I he has helped
about as much as Spike Lee helped the Knicks.
No, you know what? He's helped because players and coaches are talking about him. That means that he's in your head, and as much as the game is physical, it's a mental game too,
which is true, absolutely.
You know, I mean, them talking about him running up and down the sidelines and distracting players at the free throw line. Yo, I mean, that can't be understated to me. I mean, it's unparalleled in the game. You just like, I mean, we have to not look at him as a fan, because that's what kind of the talk has been. But he's an employee of the Toronto Raptors. Hmm. He's their ambassador. He has DeMar DeRozan's locker.
But they need to give me a locker.
Well,
so that's interesting.
we can debate that.
We'll negotiate. But you know, okay, I see your point though. I mean, I say this sarcastically, but I can honestly say he is their version of Spike Lee. What Spike was back in the early 90s.
I mean, he's taking a step further.
Yeah, as definitely. An ambassador, I can absolutely.
You know what I mean?
See that,
I mean,
yeah.
like the way I looked at it, he's almost like a cheerleader.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, cheerleaders are like people talking about his access, him running up and down the sidelines. Mm-hmm. But you know, besides the players and coaches, you know, cheerleaders and those guys who are hyping the crowd, they're basically, you know, that's
you're
just
feeding
that's
off what, it, right.
Drake is an extension of those. But yeah. he everybody knows who he is.
Yeah, and you know, if it means positive for Toronto, then absolutely, especially you know with their Turner emerging season, so I can say that. But you know, in my opinion, I really thought that the Bucks were going to run away with this series. I really did. But I watched that game a couple of days ago, and I was very impressed with Toronto. And yes, remember I called them paper champions for years, so now I have shed that title off them, and I put it on Houston. That's a different story, but. To see, you know, the entire team just play well. To see, I mean, you know, you say Kyle Lowry didn't do. I mean, he thought he did all right in that game, man.
I'm just saying, like consistently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, let's not forget, like he's a very capable point guard in his league.
Yeah,
has been for a number of years. I just expect a guy who has his playoff experience. To be more consistent,
right? And well, you're gonna need that if you're gonna win.
Like I hear people talk about him being a bulldog on defense. Mm-hmm. He has to be a bulldog on offense.
Yeah, but you know, I got to be honest with you. You know who I think really made the presence in this game and in that game?
Besides Kawhi?
Yeah, besides him getting his, because you know he makes the difference. Mm-hmm. But Serge Ibaka, you know that dunk that he had, you know that was impressive. He comes off the bench with 17 points. That says a lot, man.
You have to have contributions, you know, from – to me, you should have an idea what you're getting out of your starters.
Yeah.
You know, you guys have done it all season long. And then when you get to the bench, like what you need to me is a guy or two off that bench on different nights to come in and be a spark.
Which was Milwaukee's problem because they did not get any of that.
Well, I think for the – you know, for the playoffs, I think – what hurt them was injuries. You had Malcolm Brogdon, who was, you know, he was that guy for them. He was that, you know, he was a starter. Mm-hmm. You know, he injured, and once he was able to come back, you know, they brought him off the bench to kind of get him back in the flow. But I mean, he's a starter. But if they're going to have him come off the bench, then you need him to come in and be a spark.
More than 4 points, yeah.
Yeah, and but see what Ray's referring to is he's referring to game 4 though. Like they had game 5 on Thursday night. So, you know, that was a pivotal game too, and then today's game 6, yeah. Saturday night. So tonight's game is even more pivotal.
Absolutely.
So depending, you know, and then if you go all the way back to game 4, yeah, I mean I get that. And that's when Drake waved his ugly head, or he waved his beautiful head, either way, whichever way you want to look at it. But at game 5, that was in Milwaukee on Thursday night, and now we're back in Toronto tonight.
Making a good point there, though.
So does Drake show up again tonight.
That's wild. But you know what it reminds me of? It seemed like it was a lot in the old days where in a playoff series, it always would go, especially if it went seven games, where the home team was the one that had the favor, whoever the home team was. And I'm thinking it might go that way.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I'm actually hoping for a game seven on Monday, to be honest with you guys.
I think it's going
to
be.
Because the reason being is because my buddy over here calls the Toronto Raptors paper champions.
Not anymore. I think I said it.
Oh, you said that. Yeah. I might agree with you if they can win this and get past Milwaukee and get into the finals against Golden State. I might say okay. I say I'll get rid of paper, but I mean champions, I don't know yet. They not champs yet, you know, but
right, good point.
And we're gonna come right back. It's the end of the third quarter. The second quarter is halftime. Vince got more to say about the NBA. So we're definitely coming back to the NBA right after this timeout. It's Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butch, Ray Porter Jr. Vince Butch, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butch, Ray Porter Jr. and Trevin A. Jones. I wanna make sure our names are equal out there. We'll be right back after this timeout.
Timeout Sports with John McCann on Urban Media Today Radio.
Let me tell you something. Kevin Durant needs to hurry up and get away from Golden State because the Warriors are a less talented team without him. I mean, there's no question about that. Durant is a bad dude on that basketball court. But while the Warriors don't have the same firepower without Durant, they do manage to still bring the same pain. The Portland Trail Blazers can tell you all about that with Durant out with an injured calf. Portland guard Seth Curry said Golden State is not a better team without Durant, but the Warriors are a harder squad to defend because they move around better when he's not out there on the floor, which makes sense, right? I mean, if the weatherman says it's going to rain, why am I going to wash my car? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let Mother Nature do the heavy lifting. Okay, so maybe that's not an apples-to-apples comparison, but you get what I'm saying. And what I'm also saying is the more winning Golden State does without Kevin Durant, the more clear it becomes that if KD is all about proving that he's the main man among main men, then he's got to get out of Dodge. But that's after consulting with Kyrie Irving, for obvious reasons.
But they're not going to rook us.
No, no, no.
Take that for data.
For more sports or entertainment, hard news, health news, you name it, go to UrbanMediaToday.com. That's UrbanMediaToday.com. Keep it connected from the fields to the stands. I'm your man, John McCann.
It's Time Out Sports with John McCann on Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports, Trevin A. Jones, Vince Butch, Ray Porter Jr. Talking NBA. Vince, if you miss Vince talking about the NBA playoffs and what's going on, you miss something good because he drops gems. And that's like, and he does it every time. So, and I cut him off every time. And he gives me this look every time we go to break, like, yo, Trev, what you doing, man?
Well, yeah, all
right. And so this is a podcast, you're right. So we really don't have to go to commercials, but we'll just do that just to give respect to the station. UrbanMediaToday.com, UrbanMedia Today Radio. It's Memorial Day weekend. There's mixes on the station all weekend long. Kevin Cameron and Soul Take Champions Live along with Bill Neal will come on this evening at 6. Hey Girl Hey came on today at 2. And we got a jazz show tomorrow. So we're celebrating the weekend. Mixes up. Nope, there might not be a jazz show because it's mixes all weekend. Well, we'll see what's that all about. This is sports right now. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to you. Vince. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you finish up about the playoffs, but you know I want to talk about that all-NBA team, second and third team that came out, right?
Yeah, we can get to that.
Yeah, because I know you and I are going to agree on some things, and then there's some things we're not going to agree on, but go ahead.
So just to kind of piggyback on what you were just talking about, here's the reason why I don't want a seven-game series to play out in the Eastern Conference Finals. While Toronto and Milwaukee are battling it out, that team out west, Golden State,
rested,
getting rest,
very rested,
getting healthy.
Mm-hmm.
That they are.
Now we know, we've heard that Kevin Durant will not play in the first game. So I think you know it'll be interesting to see how ready he'll be. Like, so you have a target for the second game. Mm-hmm. You also have, you know, let's not forget about Boogie Cousins.
I'm about to say, what's his status?
You know, Boogie Cousins is getting himself prepared to play at some point in the finals.
Mm-hmm. Game seven.
So
that would be a dramatic move.
It would be. You know, there's all this talk about, you know, Golden State, and are they better, you know, with or without KD? And I, you know, I think we have to look at it from different angles. You know, I mean, obviously Golden State won a title without
him, right?
And basically the team looked like this team is currently constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, what you have is consistency with Golden State. When KD's not there,
right,
they rely on their stars.
Yeah,
Draymond Green is a star for that team. Klay Thompson is a star on that team. Steph Curry, obviously, he's the biggest star on that team.
Basically.
And so what you have those guys playing their roles, and the bench just picks up the pieces.
Incredible.
It is incredible. Because when you, like, it doesn't, every time I see a new player come in,
mm-hmm.
sometimes never heard of the guy before, comes in, and you think, at least I think,
mm-hmm.
you know, this guy's not going to have an impact, but he does.
Yeah.
You know, because those other three guys command so much attention that your head is on a swivel trying to figure out, you know, do I double team Draymond when he crosses, you know, midcourt,
mm-hmm.
To try to get the ball out of his hands. But the problem is, who does he give it to at that point?
Right.
Golden State, with all their movement, you have Klay Thompson moving, you have Steph Curry moving, but people forget about those other two guys, whoever they are, doesn't even matter who they are.
Right.
Whoever they are, they end up slipping to the basket and getting easy shot after easy shot. Well, if you overcommit to you know, one of those three guys, you know, you got guys open for three-point shots or open for mid-range shots.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're sitting watching a slugfest in Toronto and Milwaukee, Golden State is getting better.
Right.
So you mean to tell me, after what you just said, if we had, let's say KD is healthy,
mm-hmm.
then we have Draymond Green, we got Steph Curry, and we got Mr. Thompson on mm-hmm. the court. So the fifth guy wouldn't matter?
I don't think it matters.
So that means Ray Porter Jr. could be the fifth guy and he would get some
points? Ray Porter Jr.
Do you see what I go through, folks?
Ray Porter Jr. would have open shots. I don't know if he's making them.
I'm going to make all my shots. I'm going to be just like the Brooklyn folks. I'm going to make all my shots.
Wide open.
I'm going to make all my shots, son. See, I got to go Brooklyn on you now, man.
I imagine when that first cut, the Ray's open and he cuts to the basket, the ball comes. Two things going to happen.
One or two things going to happen. Okay.
One, he's going to fumble it out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
The other, he's going to pull a muscle somewhere.
Such confidence.
So now I got two folks. Now I got two folks I got to deal with. Okay.
So that means the Golden State Warriors uh-huh. are hands down the NBA champs. If they can make that happen uh-huh. with Ray Porter Jr. as the fifth guy.
You got to realize the final moments are coming, and I will come out swinging. Anyway, I'll make my shots. And if one of y'all would have got in there, too, it would have been the same thing. So
oh, bro, I know my limits.
But no, seriously, you know, I actually do concede the title to Golden State. And I can say that I respect them a lot because of their chemistry, because of their game. But like you said, everybody knows their role. But look at how when Kevin Durant came to the team, he fit in perfectly, man. He knew his role. With no chemistry issues. He averaged his 27 points a game like he was with OKC.
I mean, they've had their issues, you know, mm-hmm. but they end up working themselves out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like him and like KD and Draymond had the little, you know, had the little spat, whatever they did, you know, but it was, you know, quickly squashed, you know, because I think the ultimate goal at the end of the day
right.
is to win a championship.
Absolutely.
And
selflessness.
You know, you put aside some things.
Yeah.
You know, for the ultimate goal.
Right.
And also I think players, you know, all those players realize that we all got to sacrifice a little bit in order to get, you know, to where we really want to be.
Big picture.
And I mean, you never, you know, when a guy like KD's on your squad, I mean, he's an alpha male. So he's going to command the ball, whether he says it or not. They're going to give him the ball because right. he's, you know, I mean, arguably the best player in the league.
He very much, yeah.
You know, so you, I mean, so as much as you're going to have all that movement and stuff, and you know, getting guys, you know, the best look, because really that's to me is how you describe Golden State's offense, is we're looking for the best shot no matter who takes it. But what KD allows you to do is play a little bit of isolation.
Yeah.
And if and no matter how you play your defense on him, he's gonna eat you alive.
He's proven it, and I can say that, you know, we can jump ahead for a few weeks, and whoever the Warriors play in the playoff and the finals, which, you know, believe that it's gonna be Milwaukee, and they win, although Steph Curry will probably get the MVP. I think who deserves it, if they had it called playoffs MVP, would be Klay Thompson. I like his game. I like his clutchness. When they needed a shot, a 3-point shot or whatever, that dude would just show up and do it. Soon to be free agent, Klay Thompson.
He would hope you had a media vote.
Speaking of Klay Thompson, yeah. And I think just my opinion, I'll put it out there real quick. Whoever Golden State plays, and this is, I am about to say what I'm about to say. It's going to be a sweep.
NBA absolutely.
Finals, Golden State Warriors 4.
Totally.
I'm already putting it out there. We're just talking about game 6 tonight of the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's a wrap. That's
they're going to eat them up.
Speaking of Klay Thompson, though, and it's interesting you brought his name up. Vince, mm-hmm. the All-NBA team for this year was announced on Thursday. Mm-hmm. Can you read the first team, please?
Nikola Jokic, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Paul George, James Harden, Steph Curry.
Can you read the second team, please?
Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Damian Lillard, Kyrie Irving.
Can you read the third team, please?
Rudy Gobert, LeBron James, Blake Griffin, Russell Westbrook, Kemba Walker.
You didn't say Klay Thompson.
I did not.
Not at all.
How in the world could you not put Klay Thompson on one of those three teams? Okay. That's one thing. That's one issue I have with what you just read to me. My second thing is, didn't Doncic just do his thing in Dallas this year?
Yeah.
He's a rookie. Mm-hmm. I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he might be on the all-rookie team. Okay. So I would go there. But he might be able to get at least on a third team. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. Nope. Mm-hmm. Okay. Vince is not agreeing. Okay. Cool.
On that aspect, I mean, he actually did get a vote.
He got a vote.
And Marvin Bagley Jr. got a vote.
Got a vote. Okay.
Marvin Bagley III. Sorry about that.
Right. Got a vote.
Which I don't agree with at all.
Would you keep the rookie separate from the All NBA team?
And that, like, if that rookie it's got his team yeah. to the playoffs yeah. and mm-hmm. they made a run mm-hmm. and he was sensational,
he mm-hmm. deserves it.
Absolutely. Absolutely can find his way onto one of these three teams.
Well, this is why I brought that up. Because the LeBron James fan that I am, the end of the season this season, mm-hmm. LeBron wasn't there. I mean, he was there, but then he wasn't there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So
I mean, only he played 57 games.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't there. So I'm not questioning him as the superstar.
Right.
I'm not questioning him as, to me, the next Michael Jordan.
Right.
I'm not questioning that. What I'm questioning is, okay, wait a minute. You got Bro on the team, and he only played like 50-something games. Mm-hmm. And he made the third team. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Which is
And probably in Michael Jordan's case, you would never put Michael Jordan on the third team. He's probably always going to be number one team.
Yep.
Barring injury.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say.
He played. He played.
He still got his
games.
Points, though, man.
Regardless
still
of his
thing.
Injury.
Yeah.
You got you. Now, and that's why I brought up Doncic in Dallas. I mean, just to give somebody else some shine, so to speak. I'm not feeling the fact that my man Russell Westbrook is on the third team. So I threw three things at you. Mm-hmm. Number one, Doncic, because he could at least have been on the third team. Because I'm looking at – you got LeBron there who was injured, and then you got Kevin Durant on the second team. Kevin, KD, he had a fantastic regular season, though.
To me, there's a couple of things that are going on that I don't agree with.
Okay, I'm listening.
And one, probably the biggest thing is that media determines who makes these all-NBA teams.
Instead of coaches and players.
Which, in normal circumstances,
mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with. But some of these, with the CBA back in 2011,
mm-hmm.
what was negotiated were Supermax contracts
mm-hmm.
based off of the NBA's, the all-NBA teams.
Okay.
Oh, really?
So you now, at that point, you had media determining – players' salaries, potential players, like, you know, players being able to get a supermax deal.
Good thing you mentioned that, because Karl-Anthony Towns is now in that category.
Mm-hmm. Well, supermax.
Yeah, right. He's even though, he's not on the list, I think he's is he due to make it?
I think he's still in his rookie contract, right?
Right.
Okay, but if he could have made the All-NBA team.
He would have been in line.
It would have moved him up.
Right.
Okay, that's my point. Mm-hmm. So, so the media is actually controlling somebody else's money. So the media is in your pockets.
Yeah, but why is the media? Why not? How come this is not voted on by the owners and GMs?
I'm on your side.
The coaches, yeah.
I think the coaches should be the ones doing it. Right. I don't think media or fans should have any. I'm the same way about the All-Star game. So what? You as a fan, you want to select somebody to be in the All-Star game? No. The NBA got smart because, if the fans select, the fans are going to come and watch. Mm-hmm. But I like it the way it used to be way back in the day when it's actually the coaches were actually choosing who's an actual NBA All-Star.
Right. I think with so much at stake, I think, and we can go into that a little bit if you like, but I think with so much financially, with things at stake, I think that has to come from someone inside the game. We can debate as media, who's the best player and all that.
And every viewpoint.
But when we're talking about, I don't want someone outside determining my salary.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think we should be able to touch it.
No.
Because we're already paying our money. You know what I'm saying? They might say, so the media, you as a fan, you're paying your money, so we're going to make sure you get to see who you want to see.
All right, look, you're paying your money to watch the product on the court.
There you go.
You don't need to participate in anything else.
I totally agree.
The second issue I have is I think they need to go back to a positionless All-NBA team.
Can you do that? I mean, that's what they used to do.
Right.
Yeah, okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
And I think, players, despite what position you play, if you're one of the 15 best players as determined by GMs, owners, coaches – Then we have a better representation. It's not like these guys are going to play games, so no, I don't need two guards, two forwards, and a center. I don't.
Right. That's just what that is, man. That's just.
I want to know who are the 15 best players.
Ceremonial.
Yeah. And I think players would agree.
Mm. Right. You know what that kind of reminds me of in a sense. In baseball, obviously, they do the gold gloves, but for outfield, there is no right field, left field, center field. It's just all outfield.
Right. Because, it'd be different if these players were actually playing a game.
Right.
Yeah, you want matchups. Right. But at the end of the day, we're looking for the 15 best players, regardless of position, and we go from there.
Because I think the position does cause conflict. I mean, I never thought, even after his season with another triple-double, that you'd see Westbrook on a third team.
I'm glad you said that, and I'm cutting you off again because it's the end of the third quarter. We play a full game here, but Ray has just hit a nerve, and he's hit a really good time.
And I love that.
Because he's talking about Russell Westbrook. And we're going to be right back after this brief timeout.
You're listening to Urban Media Today Radio, your station for classic soul, R&B, old school hip hop, gospel, smooth jazz, and more. Listen online at urbanmediatoday.com or download the TuneIn, Live 365, or Urban Media Today Radio apps. They're free, so take us with you. It's Urban Media Today Radio.
Urban Media Today talking sports. Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr., Trevin A. Jones. Nope, I'm not saying it again. Talking about the NBA All-NBA team before we went to break. And my man Ray Porter Jr. brought up a good point. And he was saying that my man Russell Westbrook is on the
third team.
Mm-hmm. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double for the past 2 years. How do you put Russell Westbrook on the third team anything?
And isn't it a third year for him?
Actually, it is three years in a row.
That's amazing.
So it's three years in a row.
That's amazing.
And he averages a triple-double, but yet he's third team. Okay, Steph Curry, James Harden's on the first team. Okay. So who do you remove from the first team? Steph's not done yet.
Leave that as it is. But go ahead.
But I'm not even finished. Hold up, Vince. Before you even go there, I automatically jumped to the first team because that's how I feel about Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
But Kyrie Irving and Damian Lillard are on the second team.
Move Lillard. Move him.
Oh. Even after the way he played in the postseason?
You move All right, fine, you played well. Move Irving because he was confused.
The reason I brought that up is because I want you to think.
But I see your point, though, yeah.
The Joker was not the best center in the NBA this year. Okay? No, he did wonders with Denver, but he was not the best center in the NBA this year.
I think they gave Vince doesn't like that either.
Yeah. See, I'm giving Vince all this fuel for that fire he got burning over there. Go ahead, man. Floor is yours.
Look, I know you're going to say Joel Embiid was the best center, you know, and I won't get into, because I hate labels like, you know, oh, he was the most dominant big man. He was the most this big man and that big man. We'd have to look, break it down, because Jokic had a phenomenal season, like, you know, flirting with triple doubles.
Definitely,
you know, Joel Embiid at the same time was a sort of a little bit different type of player. Mm-hmm. You know, he was more of a traditional center that we're kind of used to, where, you know, a guy blocking the paint, you know, so his block totals were higher than Jokic, but Jokic clearly had better assist numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else to me is kind of even with those players, and Jokic to me kind of burst on the scene.
Yeah, he did,
and I think the fact that he plays out west. We, as a regular season, didn't have the same opportunities to watch him and watch how skilled of a big man he is. Not taking anything away from Embiid, because again, he's a different type of big man. But you know, I mean, there's a couple names that I'll throw out there that you can easily add to one of these three teams.
Mm-hmm.
Klay Thompson.
Definitely.
What we were talking about before.
Is one of the best shooters in the league, without question, and one of the best defensive players, as evidenced by he made the all NBA second team defensive team.
Right.
So where does he stack up on this list? I mean, as I'm looking, you know, is he better than Dame? Is he better than Kyrie?
You're talking about Klay?
Yeah.
He's not done yet.
Is he better than, well, Vince is on regular season though.
Yeah,
is he better
you.
Than Kemba?
But he didn't have
yes.
Kemba Walker? Oh man, I don't know. Because Kemba Walker in Charlotte, he had a dynamite season.
I mean, he's doing his thing though.
No, he did.
He had a dynamite
they
season.
They didn't make the playoffs.
Is he a free agent?
Yes.
He is. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Oh gosh.
And he's due for a super max deal.
Right. Los Angeles Lakers.
But why don't they ever talk about him as a free agent?
Because he's in Charlotte.
Good point. Even as far as like his impending free agent status,
yeah,
and going to the Lakers, you know, so that's interesting.
I think
he's gonna get paid.
I don't know if we mentioned it previously, but I actually think Kemba Walker will end up in LA.
Yep.
So now he's not top tier of the free agents that are going to be available this summer, but he's a nice complimentary player. A player that to me would fit in with a guy like LeBron James,
even better than
and the one thing, a couple reasons why I see him leaving Charlotte is I don't think, even though he's eligible for the Supermax, I don't think Michael Jordan is willing to pay Supermax money for him.
Mm.
I'm not even sure he's qualified to be a Supermax player based on potential. I mean, when you talk about, you know, Supermax players, I think superstar.
Yeah.
He's a very good player in this league.
He is.
And has been for a number
of
years.
Long time. Yeah.
I just don't know that if he's a great player in this league right now.
Oh.
That deserves a Supermax deal.
The great player.
Because I reserve that for guys who not only are exemplary on the court, they get their teams to the playoffs.
Right. Well, what you think about Lillard? I'm stumbling. What he's expected to get anyway. Yeah,
I think that Damian Lillard is a supermax type of guy, from the standpoint of Portland doesn't have another one of those guys.
Good point.
So, from a standpoint of we want to keep our best player, I'm okay with Portland giving him a supermax deal. I just don't think they should do it this year.
Right.
They have 5 free agents on their roster.
Oh, my.
That they need to pay first.
And they need to keep that team together.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Damian Lillard doesn't need to get – he's eligible to get a Supermax next year. They can give it to him next year.
They can wait. Okay.
Secure your free agents, because as important as your superstar is, your role players are equally as important.
Right. Because
if you can't, if you're top heavy and you can't fill out your roster, you, I mean, look, yeah, they got swept.
Yeah,
like Golden State, they got to get better.
Yeah,
they have to get better in order to stay competitive.
And whatever their cap situation is, I mean, they got to sign their free agents. But what about adding somebody?
It doesn't matter, because those are your own free agents, so you can go over. You can go into the luxury. You know, but how much do you value those five potential free agents? Damian Lillard's not a free agent,
right?
So there's no rush to pay him, and His money's not going to go into effect until after next year.
Good point.
So there's no reason to pay him the money now. Get your team better, and then pay your superstar next year.
Especially if you have that option. So that's true.
Talking about superstars and potential superstars, I'm teasing with Vince about this all-NBA team. I pretty much agree with what he comes up with, but I still think that Russell Westbrook should be on the first team. I wanted to say this to you, though, Vince. Luka Doncic, first team all rookie NBA team. My man Trae Young, part of the first team.
Yes, sir.
You mentioned this gentleman earlier, Marvin Bagley III, part of the first team, rookie first team. Then you had Jaren Jackson, who's with the Grizzlies. Yeah. And then you had DeAndre Ayton, who's with Phoenix. DeAndre Ayton, who's with Phoenix, actually made the first the NBA all rookie first team, and the Phoenix Suns are terrible.
I mean, for real.
But I wanted to put that out there, because I wanted to get that out the way too, because we were talking about the 1, 2, and 3 for the veterans, which actually, because a Joker is not a veteran,
right?
No,
he's not. So that's kind of interesting. He's like a young cat there, and he's a first team.
I mean, I don't think you can the way it's constructed,
right?
You know, having the way they, you know, two guards, two forwards, and a center.
Yep.
I could see Embiid being, you know, flip flopping and him being first team. I don't have a problem with Jokic or Embiid being first team or second team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean Rudy Gobert, as good as a player as he is,
you don't see him as third team.
Third. I mean, again, is he one of the 15 best players?
In the league. I see what you're saying. You're saying the 15 best players in the league. Yeah, I got you.
Bradley Beal.
Yeah,
Bradley Beal's not on the list.
Klay Thompson's not on the list,
and we mentioned briefly Karl-Anthony Towns
is not on the list. Yeah, I got you. That being said, gentlemen, I want to talk about. Usually we go around the table, but I had to talk about this because this just struck me, and I was like, "Wow, there you go." There was two players for the Pittsburgh Pirates last year that I like to follow. Both of them's name was Josh. Okay, but Josh Bell stayed. The other Josh left, which I'm still mad at him. That's what I'm not saying his last name. But anyway,
I say
that to say this. Three people have ever hit the ball on the fly from home plate into the Allegheny River in the stadium.
PNC Park.
I thought Ray was like raising his hand like
he did it.
Oh, you're saying on the fly. Okay,
on the fly.
There's five on the fly.
But three people. Mm-hmm. Three people, stay with me, Ray. Three people hit the ball from home plate on the fly into the Allegheny River. And yes, Ray is right. There's five times that this happened. But one brother has two of those that went from home plate into the Allegheny River.
Incredible.
And I'm talking about Josh Bell.
Yeah.
But just so that it's out there, Darryl Ward of the Astros, Houston Astros, he hit one into the river.
And I remember
Garrett Jones and Pedro Alvarez.
They hit
the ball from home plate into the river.
Right.
Okay. Josh Bell just did it
twice, and that's incredible.
Yeah,
twice. They're saying that might be 472 feet. That has to be 500 feet, Ray.
Yeah, I don't know how they do their measurements, but I could see that. Yeah,
has to be 500 feet.
You're hitting it out of a park into the river.
Out of the park, across the sidewalk,
right?
Okay, and into the water.
Mm-hmm. Dude is tearing up the league right now.
Oh yeah,
I mean he's leading the National League. In fact, he's leading the major leagues with 47 RBI.
Mm-hmm.
And he has 16 home runs, and he's.
But what is he hitting? Go ahead, say what the
unbelievable for a man that had 250, 240 the past 2 years. He's hitting over 320.
Time goes by fast, fellas.
Really, that's
why I had to squeeze that in there real quick. Mm-hmm. NBA playoffs tonight. Watch that. Anything you want to say about Memorial Day?
Yeah, my dad served in the Korean War in the Navy. My cousin, Captain Vernon Stanfield, just named captain last year in the Navy. He served in parts of the Gulf War and a lot of the current wars. Awesome. So I salute him as well.
That's what's up. Vince?
I want to wish everyone a safe and productive holiday season. You know, if you go out, make sure you come back.
Oh, that's up. He made it sound like Christmas.
I mean,
didn't
for
he?
Real. That was perfect. Yeah.
Urban Media Today Talk Sports. Vince Butts, Ray Porter Jr. I'm Trevor Nate Jones. We'll see you back here next weekend.
Urban Media Today talks sports every week on Urban Media Today Radio, where you can listen in on free music and podcasts on our SoundCloud station at Urban Media Today. And for more information, log on to urbanmediatoday.com, your lifestyle, entertainment, and sports blog website.
What type of games being played? How's it doing there? I get up, all right?